जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानन्द जय द्वैत चक्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानन्द जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद
जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद.
So we're here today celebrating the appearance day of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Was it 518th or 16th or 18th?
518th. We're, of course, all members of the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya, which literally means Bengali, even though I don't think we have any Bengalis in the room right now.
It's in the kitchen.
In the kitchen, they have a few Bengalis. It's curious that the same Krishna who was born in this UP area, Uttar Pradesh, 5,000 years ago, by his sweet will, he chose to appear again in Bengal, the other part of the country. That's the Supreme Lord's sweet will. He can do what he wants. Other religions, especially in the West, they try to develop and express their love of God with all their hearts and all their minds and so on. But mostly because their scriptures and revelation of God that's been given to them is limited, they don't have much insight into how the living entity can actually have an intimate relationship with this Supreme Lord. Actually, by the living entity's own power, no matter how he exercises his mind and his heart to try to understand the Supreme, living entity can never understand the real secrets of who God actually is, what kind of person he is, and what kind of loving relationships he's interested to have with us. Only by the Lord choosing to reveal himself in a special way can we ever have any glimpse into his, let's say, private life, his intimate life with his pure devotees. Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo na medhaya na bahuna shrutena. The Supreme Soul can't be understood by mental exertion, pravachanena, or by arguing philosophically back and forth, or even by studying revealed scriptures in which God has shown himself. He's had his avatars, and his devotees have recorded the events of his avatars, like in the Bible and the Quran and so on. Even that is insufficient to understand the inner personality of God. Yamai Vaisha Vinute Tena Labhyas. Only if God personally, if he chooses himself to show himself to his devotees, then he can be understood in his essence, in the intimate aspect of his personality. So that's one of the purposes of Krishna's descending from the spiritual world, or showing himself in this material world. The word is used, usually avatara, of a tree, to descend. But it's not actually a descent, not like Krishna's getting into an elevator and coming down. He's omnipresent, he's everywhere already. The spiritual world is everywhere. But our eyes are covered, our consciousness is clouded. So the real nature of the avatar is that the Lord is lifting the curtain of Maya and letting us glimpse his eternal pastimes. Krishna did this 5,000 years ago. He showed his original form of Govinda. Here, on this part of the earth. And he did it again. He showed himself again in a very special form, only 500 years ago, in a different place on this planet. The appearance of Krishna, Krishna himself, is the most complete form of God. God is God, he's absolute. He's always complete. He always is infinite in all his powers and glories, and his wonderful qualities are always infinite. But he doesn't always show everything. In many of his appearances, he only shows certain parts, in a limited way, of his personality. Lord Matsya, his avatar is described in the end of the 8th canto of the Bhagavatam. We don't hear about Lord Matsya having a rasa lila or other similar pastimes. His pastimes are only a certain aspect of God's reciprocation with a few devotees, mainly with one, Satyavrata Muni, and with the sages and so on. So in many of his avatars, he doesn't show much of his personality. But as Krishna, he displayed everything. He displayed the whole gamut of his intimate relationships with many different kinds of devotees. Akilara Samrita Murti, Krishna, even in contrast to other forms of God, his own other expansions, is especially the reservoir of all kinds of loving relationships. And therefore, he has many different kinds of devotees who accompany him in his appearance in this world and display their loving exchanges with him in all these different rasas. So that same Krishna decided to make a second appearance. Although Krishna is the most himself, he gives love of God in a free way, Krishna, more freely than other forms of God. Even Lord Ramachandra, there are four, according to Srila Rupa Goswami in his explanation in Laghu Bhagavatamrita, there are four appearances of the personality of Godhead who are the most complete. I think it's Vamanadev, Ramachandra, Nrsimha, and Krishna. Vamanadev shows the beauty of God very completely. Lord Ramachandra, prema is a very rare gift. The Lord may give liberation to those he blesses, but he very rarely gives pure devotion. Because when he gives bhakti, pure bhakti, to someone, then he becomes the property of that devotee. The devotee, Krishna Akarshani Chasa, pure bhakti, controls Krishna. So Krishna is giving himself away when he gives away bhakti. Therefore he's frugal about giving it away. Lord Ramachandra was more liberal. Many of his devotees got pure love. His devotees. But Krishna was different. Krishna gave pure love of God even to the demons he killed, even to his enemies. That we didn't see, we never saw in any other incarnation. Or as Bill Mangala Thakur says, there are many avatars of Godhead. Sarvato Bhadra, all of them are completely auspicious, but who other than Krishna? Matasvapi prema do bhavati. Gave love of God, prema, even to the vegetables, even the plants and the creepers in Vrindavan, came to life, developed transcendental consciousness and manifested symptoms of prema. So Krishna is very unique. He's giving love of God freely, much more freely than other avatars. And he's giving it even to his enemies, even to the demons he kills. But still he wanted to extend his, what we call audharya, magnanimity, generosity. He wanted to extend his generosity even further. He wasn't satisfied even after finishing his avatar 5,000 years ago. So he appeared again as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna, demanded of Arjuna at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. You give up all your own ideas of what you think is your duty and just do what I say. Do what I want. Then I'll protect you and give you my full blessings. There's a condition there. Krishna demands surrender. He doesn't demand that we become expert yogis. Arjuna, back in the 6th chapter, told Krishna, I can't practice this yoga system. It's too difficult for me. So Krishna offered to him the simpler method of prapatti. Just surrender to me. Depend completely on me and dedicate everything you do to me only. But that's still a demand. Many of us, thousands of years after Krishna spoke those words, many people are repeating them. They're reciting Bhagavad Gita. But they're not doing it. They're not surrendering fully to Krishna. Therefore, Krishna decided to appear again and offer himself and his full blessings and love of God, even to those who won't surrender. The only demand of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that we take the name of Krishna. Of course, we're expected to have faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. But if with full faith in them, we simply chant Krishna's names, then we will get love of God. Just by that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made himself as accessible as possible. Krishna was a human being, appearing as a human being. But that was 5,000 years ago, back in Dwarpa Yuga. He was, 16 feet tall. Not the kind of person we could, relate to nowadays. A giant. And he and everybody at that time were doing amazing things that we cannot even conceive of today. It just doesn't fit into our conception of reality, the kind of wizardry and magic that was being commonly exhibited during Krishna's times, not only by Krishna himself, even by ordinary people and demons. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared in the modern age. And he appeared in a community of Bengali Brahmanas who are, within the scope of conceivable human culture. We can understand, we can relate to them. He acted like a human being. He made himself accessible to ordinary human beings when he was living in Navadvipa. He and Lord Nityananda would like to go wandering around town, and they would go to anybody and everybody's house, even very fallen people. People who respected Brahmanas would usually never visit. But Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya were wanting to give their mercy to everybody. So we're very fortunate, somehow or other, Srila Prabhupada has introduced us to the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's on the basis of that mercy, which he especially deposits in Krishna's names, that this society of devotees, ISKCON, is established. This is the basis of our... we shouldn't think that what are we doing here sitting for 6 hours chanting Hare Krishna. This is our business. Day and night, every day, this is our business. This is how we evoke for ourselves and for the rest of the world the mercy and empowerment of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, simply by chanting Krishna's names. Kriteya Dhyayato Vishnu Tvetayam Yajato Makai Dvapare Parichayayam Hari Kirtanat. What was achieved in the first age, Satya Yuga, by practicing meditation In other words, the meditational yoga system was the methodology of devotional service in Satya Yuga. Just like we're chanting 16 rounds, following some regulative principles, and studying the Bhagavatam, doing service, that's our sadhana. The sadhana for the same bhakti yoga in Satya Yuga was to go through the traditional yoga system of meditation. Dhyaya to Vishnu. As things became degraded and the Treta Yuga began, the system was adjusted to make it simpler by performing ritualistic Vedic sacrifices, fire sacrifices. That was the sadhana in Treta Yuga. In Dwarpa Yuga, by worshipping the deity of the Lord. Kalal Tad Hari Kirtana. And in this modern age, the same is accomplished. In other words, we achieve Krishna consciousness and ultimately prema by Kirtanadeva Krishna, so simply glorifying Krishna. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced this, but actually the process of Sankirtana is eternal. The great sages of the past, they certainly knew about it. For example, Lord Kapila Dev, giving instruction to his mother, Devahuti, millions of years ago, in some Satya Yuga, I don't know which one, he taught her about Sankirtana, about glorifying Krishna's names, but he didn't teach it at the beginning. He, first of all, taught her the basics of meditation and of philosophical discrimination. And then it was expected, after she became adept as a yogi, then she could begin Sankirtana, chanting the names of the Lord. In other words, in previous ages, although the process was available, it was not recommended for neophytes. Only for advanced and successful yogis. They could take the risk of chanting Krishna's names. The risk, because uttering the name, especially of Radha Krishna, is sticking your nose into Krishna's intimate affairs. And what business do we have in the presence of Radha Krishna? We just commit offenses in their presence, even by uttering their names. So all sorts of namaparads can be committed by one who is not pure enough to chant. Therefore, it's dangerous, normally, to chant Hare Krishna. Therefore, it's not revealed in all the Vedas. One Upanishad, Kali Santarana Upanishad, specifies, gives the mantra. Elsewhere in the Vedas, you won't find it, because it's too dangerous. Aparads can be committed, and then when you commit namaparad, the reaction is so bad that it's worse than not chanting at all. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has changed the situation for our age. Upon his appearance, he gave us not only permission, but he ordered every man, woman, and child of the universe to take the name of Krishna, to chant Hare Krishna. In effect, he gave diksha, initiation, in the Harinam diksha to everybody in the universe. And gave the what we call dispensation, special favor that don't worry about the offenses. Just like Krishna told Arjuna, go ahead and fight and kill your teachers, and I'll take the reaction on my head. So Vajradhana is similarly told, you chant Hare Krishna, and the offenses you may commit, I'll absorb the reactions. Just do it on my order. Therefore, Prabhupada told us to chant the Panchatantra Mahamantra, to invoke the blessings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatantra before chanting Hare Krishna. Only by the special empowerment, special order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are we able to be engaged in this process. We're not any kind of advanced yogis. We're prone to committing all sorts of nama aparad and other aparads, Vaishnava aparads. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is protecting us and letting us continue with chanting Hare Krishna. So if we don't immediately get prema, because we are committing offenses, if we don't experience in 2 weeks or in 20 years prema, we should not be discouraged or disappointed. The mere fact that we're allowed to continue chanting Hare Krishna is a great blessing given to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If nothing else, if there's nothing else that we can see auspicious in our life, everything seems to be going wrong. I'm sick, I can't do anything, you know, I have problems with my family and this and that. At least you're being allowed to chant Hare Krishna and continue it your whole life. What a blessing. You'll get the perfection of your life by that. No doubt. Lord Chaitanya said that to chant Hare Krishna your whole life, actually you have to be have special qualification for that. Chunadapi sunichena, tarurapi sahishnuna, amani na mana dina kirtani yaksadahari. You can chant Hare Krishna forever, but you have to be more tolerant than a blade of grass, more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, not expecting any respect from anybody and being ready to give respect to everyone else. Then you can chant Hare Krishna forever. Even without that qualification, we're being allowed to chant and continue chanting. So we should be very thankful and take advantage of the opportunity. Somehow or other, we're being allowed to do this. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Yeah.